Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. Coming up on this Wednesday edition, it is a hump day, and we have got a sad LeVar Arrington. Penn State loses a key member of their coaching staff, and we've got more fallout from the criticism surrounding Brian Kelly's departure. We're also going to talk about one player, an NFL player. Apparently, he's got sour grapes. He's writing a tell-all book about it. The great Petros Papadakis is going to stop by, and we've got another edition of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. All of it is yours next year on FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
So the changes continue in the world of college football. We're going to get into all of that coming up here. Just a couple of moments from now. We got a heartbroken LeVar Arrington. I'm Jonas Knox. That guy's Brady Quinn. It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on FSR. We're going to take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates, the iHeartRadio app, and it is a Wednesday edition here on the show. It's LeVar's favorite
Brady.
It is that. Yeah.
Jonah. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Hump day.
And you know what other day it is?
What?
It's time for Penn State to fill a hole because Brent Pry is gone, LeVar Arrington. He was bragging yesterday about
how we dodged a bullet.
And then the DC for Penn State been there since 2016.
I feel so bad for you, Brady. You've lost your head coach, Brady. And then not even a day later.
Yeah.
Now he's gone.
He's a Virginia Tech.
Just ripped my heart out. So.
I like that hire for them, though. That's a good hire. He's great.
And you think?
Sorry. I was just trying to be positive. I mean,
you know,
it is a good hire for Virginia Tech.
We still haven't, in my humble estimation, filled the gap when we lost Joe Moorhead as our offensive coordinator. And Pry, as a combination with Frank at the head, was magic. Like, that was our national championship coaching staff.
Yep.
I don't know where we end up with our offensive side of the ball, but I will say this. That man, Brent Pry, is one of the dopest dudes that you will ever meet, man. One of the most genuine dudes. Like, all the guys, my mentees that are, like, my friends, but they're too young to be my friends, so they're more of my mentees than anything else. But those guys
– you brought it up again.
Those guys have always – they always have spoke so glowingly about Brent. And I'm one of those type of guys. I support my team. I support my school. But I'm not very outgoing in terms of giving my loyalties and my emotions and my love – to people that go there, like especially coaches. Like I despise Bill O'Brien to this day. I don't like him at all, just based upon the things that people told me he was doing when he came in there to like women. Like and people, not like that, not to that degree, but more so just the lack of respect and grace and people departing and leaving in a tumultuous time. It was just handled in more of a tyrant way rather than, you know, in a way where you would say, wow, like this dude is trying to do right and trying to make things right in a really, really tough situation. He basically came up in there treating everybody like they were guilty. Like you're looking at us and judging us from the inside as our coach. And I just never liked him for it. When James came in, I took a really long time to figure out if I liked him. Brent Pry, it took me even longer. And let me tell you something. It's one of those things where once you start to realize the consistency of what people have to say about you, that's your calling card. You know, your reputation. When they say your reputation precedes you, it does. And I'll tell you what, not only am I happy for Brent Pry, by the way, because he's deserving of it. He's been an amazing defensive coordinator. He's really been the glue to our team, him and Terry Smith, for quite some time. But I'm nervous now as well because our recruiting fertile ground is through that DMV that, Brady, you were talking about yesterday when we were talking about hot bids for football players. The DMV all the way down that corridor to the Tidewater area, we have battled it out with Virginia Tech and Virginia and Ohio State. We have battled it out, and we have done very well. I'm nervous about – and I think we have – I think Frank is one of the best recruiters. But Brent Pry is loved, respected, and admired. And like you said, I think it was an awesome hire for Virginia Tech. If anything, they're going to play dope defense. I know that.
Yeah.
They're going to play some real good defense.
Let me ask you guys this. I've always been a huge fan of the SEC. I've been an SEC ball washer for years. Don't you think the Big Ten is just more interesting right now? Now, obviously, Oklahoma and Texas are going to go to the SEC, and that's going to change things. But as of right now, the Big Ten feels like it's just got storylines all over the place. Like, just based on all the scenes we got to see this weekend, all the classic games we got to watch, just the atmospheres, it feels like the Big Ten, I don't know if they're a better conference per se as far as you know maybe talent goes, but it's just as far as storylines, interest level, it feels like they've really gained some ground on the SEC.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say. I mean, look, there's a lot of like moving parts to it, a lot of good coaches, a lot of good players, but look, the Michigan coming back around to me is one of the biggest storylines because it's a blue blood in college football, and if they win this week and they win the 10, as LeVar likes to say, if they win the Big 10, they're in the playoff, and now they've got a shot at winning a national championship. And, you know, look, I don't know if anyone can beat Georgia, but if, you know, anyone can, maybe that team can. Because there's something about the way they've played this year. I've been skeptical at some of their bigger matchups, and granted, they ended up losing to Michigan State one of the games I was there, even though I thought they'd end up winning. But there also was a bit of a controversial call that I think played into that a little bit for their only loss versus Ohio State. Didn't know if they could match up with the wide receivers on the outside. Didn't know if Cade McNamara could do enough, if they could be more physical. They were more physical. They were by far the better football team. So I think this year has been fun for the Big Ten because you've got some different stuff going on, and maybe there's more parity, but all I know is this, is it's fun when you don't have what you expect at the beginning of the season to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even you could look at, I mean, not just to get on that storyline of college football, it's been a crazy year. Do you know there's been a top 20 team that lost every single week? There was literally an upset every single week this college football season. If you had bet at the beginning of the season, Spencer Rattler, who was the favorite to win the Heisman, was the favorite to be the first overall pick, first quarterback taken in next year's draft, if you could have bet that by this point in time in the year, both Lincoln Riley and Spencer Rattler would be gone.
Jeez.
Think about that.
Gone. Like,
gone.
Yes.
Like, transfer portal for Rattler,
transfer
head coach
portal,
at USC.
Transfer portal for coach.
Yeah. It has been an amazing college football season. It really has.
Yeah.
No, it's been a lot of fun. And by the way, Brady Quinn, who gave you the Bryce Young back in March to be the Heisman, now all of a sudden the odds have swung. A week ago it was C.J. Stroud, and then based on what happened this past week, Bryce Young now the favorite according to Fox Bet and others to be the to win the Heisman.
You know what I hear too from people is like, "Oh, there's no one deserving of like." Get over yourself.
There's always someone deserving.
There's always someone. I mean, all these kids who are up there for it, whether it's Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud, Kenneth Walker, Kenny Pickett, my guy at Pitt, he's hopefully going to be a finalist. Will Anderson, the DN at Alabama. I mean, just I hate when people say that stuff. But the thing about Bryce Young this past week is he didn't play a good football game. He literally, on a big stage at a big moment, he had a bad football game, not having his number one wide receiver, a Blitnikoff finalist in Jameson Williams, and he still found a way to win. Like, in the end, on that final drive to basically take it into OT, you saw then, like, oh, okay, there it is. That's why he's so special. But now people are trying to knock him for that performance. I was like, dude, they got the win. What does it matter? Like, they're moving on to the SEC championship.
He went 97 yards in the Iron Bowl with, like, a minute change left. I mean, that's got to count for something.
You could make the case it was his Heisman moment, as bad as the game was before that time, that period of time. I mean, he did not play well, but that's, again, there's a lot of things that work into that, too. So, yeah. it's been a fun college football season.
Really fun. It is two pros and a cup of Joe here. Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Brought to you by Discover. Real credit card questions require real people. Someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. All right, so coming up next, things right when you thought they were getting hot, they got even hotter over the past 24 hours for somebody in the world of sports. Stories are coming out. It is a bad look through and through. We'll have the latest for you right here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Two pros and a cup of Joe.
Come
here
on,
Fox Sports Radio. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up a little over 10 minutes from now, somebody in the NFL is threatening in a certain manner, and they're going to try and make a little bit of money off that those threats.
We'll is that a that threat here. Or is it a promise?
Well, is
it a guarantee or is it just an accusation?
I like that.
Sounds like a little some sour grapes. So it sounds like to me.
You want it? Okay, we'll touch it when we get there.
What about the story?
Yeah, that too.
All right. So
why does Berto love every nasty innuendo that's thrown out
because,
on his
because
show?
Because he says them all in our ear.
You guys, man.
I wish people could hear the crap that Roberto says to us in our ears trying to do a show. Professional broadcast.
Very distracting. Very distracting.
It is.
It's as funny as his laugh. That's what I'll say. It is as good as his laugh is.
Oh, jeez. Man. So
make sure I get them tamales, player.
Yeah. Well, all listen, right. I mean, he's made some promises. We'll see if it happens. Mm-hmm. Now, can you overnight those to Brady? Well, not right now, the way things are going shipping-wise. But would those, if you, like, put them in dry ice and froze them, would they work out well?
Yeah,
if you, like,
work.
All right. What do you say, Brady? You want some,
I do that with crabs all the time.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I get crabs so many times.
Okay.
We should all get crabs at least once in our life.
I was just going to say.
All right.
I've never dealt with that, but, you know.
The blue ones. Right, the blue
first time for everything.
Hey, you know,
you should try the blue ones. Yeah. You put them on dry ice. They can survive many conditions.
Seafood Sports Talk Radio here at its finest. nothing to see or listen to here.
The little pinchers, you know.
Right. All right.
Crawling all around.
Good luck with a beard trimmer.
Life and experiences,
very strange.
Anyways, tamales.
So as we move on smoothly to somebody who is getting it all the criticism in the world they could possibly handle right now. Brady, you were pretty hard on Brian Kelly yesterday as far as just him deciding to leave. Some of the reports are
No. Let's not twist up what I was hard on him about. It was how he left. Mm-hmm. Not that he decided to leave. I'm not going to fault someone who wants to go leave if they feel like they have a better opportunity elsewhere or if $95 million is on the table. Like, I'm not faulting someone for that. It was the manner in which he left. It was the fact that he full well – the more I've found out about this whole situation, the worse the 24 hours that transpired look. He knew for a week and a half. Between USC, who contacted him, and LSU, they knew for a while. They were trying to get the attention of Notre Dame to get this thing done before the Stanford game. And they were like, hey, we'll wait till after the season. We'll wait till after. They didn't want to wait. That's all how this whole thing transpired. So just so people out there understand this, Brian Kelly made a decision to leave because he was frustrated that Notre Dame didn't want to act quick enough on all that. And so he up and bounced because he felt like as the winningest head coach in Notre Dame history, how could you not negotiate during the season with him? How could you not do this deal when you've got LSU and your other schools, you know, knocking down his door? That's how this whole thing worked out. So it's not so much to me that he left. That's his own prerogative. To me, it was how he left. The fact that he would go on the road to recruit and then sit there and talk to a family, talk to a young man, and be with an assistant coach at the time, and not even have him know. That assistant coach is finding out like everyone else, and he's on the PJ with this dude. You tell me that's the way you go about leaving when you've supposedly left a legacy there that you're not going to tell your assistants who you're close to. You're not going to tell your players like that. You're going to recruit another guy like that. He spent 2 minutes with those kids when he was saying goodbye. So don't get it twisted. Don't do that. It wasn't about the fact that he left. It was the way he left. That's the problem I had with him.
And he seems like he's not only getting it from Brady Quinn on the show about everybody's coming after him.
Coaches were weighing in on it, that
were holding stuff in the bag, waiting to drop, you know, stories about their run-ins and dealings with Brian Kelly. Like, I don't recall a coach leaving a school to take another job and getting this much pushback like Brian Kelly's gotten. I mean, he's getting smoked from a lot of people at a lot of different angles.
All I'll say is this. If you thought for 2 seconds that these coaches out here aren't the biggest egomaniacs in the world ever, you're kidding yourself. You ever notice how coaches come out when they're about to come out of the locker room and they run out with them, or they're standing there and it'd be like 6'8", 6'9", all dudes around them, and their arms are linked up. And coach, you ain't touching a goddamn soul today, bruh. You're not going to get one bump, one nick, one bruise unless somebody gets thrown off to the sideline and you get caught up into one of those little melee deals. But you're not going to war. Walk your ass out onto the sideline and get yourself ready to call a game or manage the game with the rest of your coaching staff. I'll never understand it. When I became a head coach for the first time, I tried to convince myself, like, I'm going to go into the tunnel with these guys, because we had a little helmet. We had the big helmet. They did the smoke, and they played the like, let me go in this helmet with my dudes and link arms, and we're going to run out on this field together. It's like the egos that these guys have is fed by the players. It's fed by the fans. Oh, yeah, it's fed by the money. And a lot of times what we find out, and it's sad sometimes because we immortalize these people sometimes, right, is that they're people. They're people that have wants and needs and hopes and dreams, and they're selfish as hell, or they're selfless. So when you meet somebody, like I always say, Bobby Bowden left one of the most profound impacts on me as a person just because of how genuine a person he was for the time that I was around him. Just one of the most genuine dudes that I've ever been around. And then I've been around dudes like Joe Gibbs, who it seemed like they were genuine dudes, and they're egomaniacs. And they let their egos get in the way, and they hide it behind Christianity. They hide it behind community service. They hide it behind wins and players. They hide all of these things, and then it comes out in the open in certain moments, like when you get a different job. There's certain things that happen where people expose who they are. So when they expose who you are, don't be disappointed by it. Kelly sounds like he's not one of the most genuine dudes. Yeah. He's a cunning dude. But you know what? He's a dude, and they like him enough to take him to where they took him to. And that's like kind of what it comes down to.
You're right about the ego part of it all. What I'll just say is, you know, I think, again, the manner in which he left, how he left, that probably bothered people the wrong way. Because, you know, for the most part, I think people feel like maybe he did some things the right way there. So they feel bitter about the way he left. And then on the other side of it is there's probably a lot of people there who didn't have good interactions with him. And when he's in the head coach position, he's in that position of power at Notre Dame, they're not going to say anything because they got to work with the guy. But the second he leaves, they're going to let some of those things come to fruition. So go ahead and search out there on the internet. You'll find him flipping off. I believe he was flipping off his now offensive coordinator, Tommy Rees, who then, I think this photo was back from 2013, someone from the South Bend Tribune had taken a photo of him doing it. But Tommy Rees had thrown a red zone interception. And Kelly literally flips the bird. And this dude caught it on camera at Tommy Rees. And the irony of it now is he's his offensive coordinator. And supposedly LSU is offering him right now $400,000 over what he's making at Notre Dame to come be their offensive coordinator. So the timing of this photo coming out and all of it is kind of interesting. And I'm sure Brian Kelly and Tommy have a great relationship with one another. But, you know, again, it's more about how all this stuff has started to come out. The story about Matt LaFleur and Robert Saleh back when he was at, what was it? Yeah. I mean,
at Central Michigan.
Those stories start to come out and you go, okay, maybe that is more the true colors of who this guy really is. And you hear about how this whole thing came together. And that's why the more I hear about how he left and everything else that came along with it, I'm just like, all right, it's the way he left. Don't get that twisted. And here's the other thing I'll just say quickly. When people start talking about his legacy and what he did there in Notre Dame, I'm never going to challenge that, because then you're challenging what the players accomplished.
Yeah, yeah.
Like to what LaVar said, the players are the ones who build up these coaches.
That's right.
And if you start saying, well, you know, his legacy, you know, wasn't this, wasn't that, then you're taking away from what the players accomplished on the field. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to take anything away from that portion of what he did, because those players did that. Those guys were able to win, what, 5 straight seasons with 10 wins and all that. And there's something to be said for that. So that's the only thing that I think gets lost in all this is, as people try to tarnish his name, it ends up, you know, these players being collateral damage with how they're feeling about the situation right now. That's not fair to them.
Well, the one thing that could be, you know, a bright spot in all this is that this isn't the first time Brian Kelly's done this. We talked about it yesterday. He did it to Cincinnati. Players were pissed off at the time. I think it was Marty Gilliard, who was a wide receiver on that Cincinnati team, came out and was furious about the way that he left. I think it was before a bowl game. Now he's done it to Notre Dame. If there's the one place that you're going to go where they're going to get rid of you before you leave them, even if you do win a national title, it is LSU. So, if there's going to be a little bit of payback through all this, a little bit of karma involved, maybe this is going to be the school or the program that happens. And you mentioned, was it the strength coach as well was offered a big pay raise? He's not leaving to go. So, you know, it feels like in Lincoln Riley's case, you're seeing top assistants go with Lincoln Riley to USC, but it doesn't seem to be happening with Brian Kelly, which I think, you know, as you pointed out, obviously tells you a lot about how that is.
Can you see more two contrasting styles of school and like what you're going to recruit and what you're coaching? Like, if you want to go down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, there's nothing against that. You know, there's a hotbed of talent down there and all that stuff, but that's like its own deal. Like, it's just so different than what you're coaching and where you're at in South Bend, Indiana, close there to Chicago. Like, two completely different worlds. And that's the other thing for some of these coaches. They got families. And it's like, all right, am I gonna move my kids and move my entire family down to the deep south when I know
we won't go down there and hear them that bad? Yeah. We're gonna get some of them crawfish.
I gotta speak a different language. I've gotta figure out, like, if we're gonna be here more than 3 or 4 years.
Kelly Bro. No, you got to change your name to Kelly Bro. I mean, Brian Kelly Bro.
By the way, Louisiana might be my favorite accent in the country, though. Because
it's real Cajun, bruh, that is, it's like, you know, and I got Jamaican roots. So when you hear somebody,
me too.
Yeah, right. So when you hear somebody speaking patois, like, it's you got to pay attention, real. You stupid. You go down into Louisiana, boy. You get down there in that deep down, and when in that bayou where they be down there, and they be grabbing them crawfish with their hands.
That's a good impression.
They sit there. Well, the funny thing is, I have real Southern family. Like some of my roots are so deep south that I have a very interesting dialect, because it's like a mash of Alabama, like deep North Carolina.
And you're a Yinzer.
I don't say Yins. I do say Stillers. It's funny because I don't sound like I'm from Pittsburgh unless I'm in Pittsburgh. If I'm around Pittsburgh people, I don't sound like I'm from Pittsburgh until I'm in Pittsburgh. But
Stillers.
It is what it is, man. But I tell you what, why you get down there, I buy you. Brian Kelly better be able to bring that good them dishes. You ain't nobody. Hey, we ain't gonna be filling up.
Wait,
hold on now.
That's not racist.
There is no color connected to that dialect that I was sitting there giving you.
Who didn't watch the first True Detective? Come on, you see some of the cast members on there. That was real Louisiana swamp talk. There's nothing wrong with that.
You better get up on out of here to these bare swamp, boy. You don't know nothing about them trees down there, that water.
It is two pros and a cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up in about 10 minutes from now, somebody's getting called out. Not everybody is happy for somebody getting a raise in the world of sports. We'll have that for you here about 10 minutes from now. Did you see RG3 is writing a book? How about this? Released a statement on social media. I'm so excited to announce that I wrote a book, and it's coming out in August 2022, titled Surviving Washington. How about that? I'm glad he's excited because I'm not. We've already heard all this. Like what else could we possibly hear from RG3 about what's going on in Washington that we haven't already gotten stories from, whether it's from LeVar Arrington or somebody else who's talked about what a disaster that organization is through and through?
I've certainly said it for many, many years. And it's funny because when people say what they feel and what they mean or what they've experienced, they're diminished or they're downplayed. It's not really respected. It's like there's always a catch. There's always a reason why. Like, oh, he's disgruntled, so he wants to put them down and this and that. No, look at the results. Look at the results. I mean, they have not been a good organization. I'll say this. I thought the wording of the title was interesting because if you follow, you know, media and different things like that, surviving that was based off of the documentary of R. Kelly.
Yes.
All right. So that's the first thing people are going to associate and attach.
Which, by the way, my God,
horrible, right?
Unbelievable.
What a deep hole that is. And so to me, if he's strategically positioning what he's doing to hit and impact the way that I, in my humble estimation, I know what it was like when I was there. And if I was that type of dude where I was would have my dad in the locker room at halftimes and stuff like that, I probably would write a tell-all book too.
Your daddy.
There's just certain things that I will never do tell-alls about. There's just certain things that I'm just not – I'll take them to the grave with me, and it just is what it is. But here's the thing. When you think about that email, those emails and all that stuff that was coming out that was just – that was the only thing exposed, I think he has now set the stage by saying surviving it, and he's taken it into a whole nother tone that goes beyond – just the realm and the parameters of him being a football player. And I think that that's what makes this intriguing because we do see a lot being and I saw a lot as a player. I saw a whole lot more as the player. And I saw a whole lot more as the franchise player. And if I were to say some of the things that I've seen, some of the things I've experienced, you wouldn't believe me. You would not, if I said it or if I wrote it in a book, you would not believe that those things were said, that those things happened the way that they did. You wouldn't believe it. And so I'm interested to see what his experiences were because there was only one other player that was as big a figure coming into that organization the way that they did as a draft pick as me, and it was RG3. I was there covering. I covered that team. That's where I cut my teeth in the media game during radio, was during the Mike Shanahan time. And I was there when they brought RG3 in and when they took him with that overall number two pick. And he revitalized and rejuvenated an entire fan base, an entire city. I mean, RG3 mania was a real thing. Like, it was real. That thing, it was to nauseam. How popular and how big of a figure RG3 was. So I think it'll be interesting because at that point, you would assume that Dan Snyder and the rest of those the people that were around would have understood by then to maybe do things just a tad bit differently than what you were doing and how you were doing it when I was there. But from what I could gather, it got worse, and it went beyond the parameters of the football building. It was like at local bars and pubs and hotels and anyways, I ain't gonna go there. I'll just read his book. I can't even imagine what's in there. What's going to be in there from his perspective, or how? Because that's how they handled my injuries. That's how they handled a lot of our injuries. They handled a lot of things incorrectly. But he's going to tell it. I'm interested to hear it.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably won't read the book. You know, I was there.
It's August. We got until August. Yeah. So
what a great setup, right?
We can fill some time.
Where are we at the end
season.
Of November?
Yeah. So it's basically.
What a great tease. We're not going to release this thing until August.
All right. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox of the Year on FSR. Coming up next, apparently not everybody is happy for somebody getting a giant raise. We'll get into all that for you right here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon, I'm Dan Byer, and we have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up, we'll call it a little over 10 minutes from now, there is a really, really bad spot that one team has found themselves in, and it's no fault of their own. We will get into all of that here, top of next hour, a little over 10 minutes from now.
Can I just ask one thing to you guys? And Brady, I would love to get your opinion on this. Don't you think that if anybody did their version of a tell-all, don't you think that S would be ridiculous, like in some type of shape or form? Like, I mean, is it really kind of do we look at this as like, do we take this at face value? Or because I'm telling you, to name it that, you want Me Too movement people to buy in and to subscribe to this book that you're about to put out. This is, let's be clear, you're going after Me Too people. So if you think about it, Brady, couldn't anybody do a tell-all book that would be provocative enough to get people to want to pay attention to it, whether it has a ton of validity to it or not?
I don't know. I don't even know how to answer that. I think in general, when someone writes a tell-all and they're writing it from their perspective, like, that's my first issue with it. I'm just not the type of guy that's like, hey, let's write a book about myself, you know, like, or would want to do that. Like, I think even when you're to a certain level, I'm not sure it's really necessary. So it's more of telling about the individual to me than everything about, because it gives you or sheds some light on what they're about.
Mm.
As much as it's about them telling a story or what happened or from their perspective, they're just like a me guy. Like, everything's got to be about them. And he seems to be like that type of guy. Like, I listen to him call games. It's the most distracting thing ever. Listen to how he calls a college football game. It's hard to listen to for me.
Because he makes it all about him.
He makes it about himself.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's no different than Tony Romo, all right? For all those people out there who want to take this in a certain direction.
I see what you did there.
I'm just saying, I couldn't stand Tony Romo, and I think he's gotten actually better at this, but early on, he made it so much about his predictions or about himself, and I was like, I can't stand listening to this. Just let me watch the game. Let me watch what's happening right now. You know, we've got Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady going back and forth. Like, those are the guys that I want to, like, watch and hear the sounds and everything from the game.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many guys to do that. So, again, not to get off on a tangent.
No, but it's relevant. It's relevant.
I just think when you're writing a book about yourself, it kind of says a lot to me.
And it's yourself, but you're surviving. You dig? Like, so you
the way he put that to me is, I think it takes away from what a lot of other people experienced. You know, like when you start talking about like survive, like, okay, like again, you and I, you know, I have a foundation that works with the military, works with veterans.
That's surviving.
That's
something.
Surviving. Like you start throwing around that word, I'm like, oh no, don't say that. Like, that's surviving. That's fighting for this country. That's going, like, that's surviving.
Yeah.
Don't be comparing what that is, playing a professional sport. As bad as an organization may be, trust me, I'll say this again, as bad as an organization that you get drafted into, okay, that I may have been drafted, as bad as it is, that's not surviving, all right? That's a blessing. You get to play football in the NFL, and regardless of whether it's a good or bad experience, it's a blessing. That ain't surviving.
We just live in a society now where it's so victim-driven, and for the simple fact that that victim mentality is so prevalent and it's running so rampant, people have become so soft and so politically correct and so many different things that have began to reshape the fabric of what America represents. And it just throws me off that you already set the stage with what you're doing by leading off with victim. You're leading off with victim, like surviving. You're leading off with victim. So basically, you're going to try. I know what his angle is going to be. He's going to try to make himself a hero and endearing to all of the women that were impacted by what happened. And, I know that's where this is going.
And also, I'm sure that there's a lot of people who can look back at their career and say, "Man, I wish my situation was handled differently. It would have been a different story." But here's the thing. He's now a broadcaster. Like, at some point, don't you want to move forward and capitalize on the great opportunities you have in front of you?
It's interesting to know, what does he gain by doing it?
Yeah, it's a little strange.
Strange, man.
I mean, money. You get money from the
book. Yeah. Oh, he's going to get paid. Yeah. They're going to pay for it. It's going to be like a manual. Watch what I tell you.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.